plans to give up all our lives. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I got to thinking about leaning. I wanted to add that on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can lean on Him. Glory to God. Did you not bring your guitar this morning, Luke? All right. All right. I certainly enjoy that. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord this morning. Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It's kind of quiet. Man, I'll tell you what, don't let the rock get you blessing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bible said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. More so than less so. Amen. All right, let's look in our Bible this morning. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I'm ready. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things going on. And those things going on make me glad I am. Pretty, amen. Let's look in our Bible, 2 Peter. We'll read several verses here this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll read at least the first 12 verses there. Catch us up on our Bible reading. I was reading my Bible this morning, just randomly reading. I'm glad I read there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that God's above all. Amen. I'm glad. Hallelujah.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 3, we'll start a reading verse number 1. Let me get wired up here. And when I say wired up here, I'm already wired, but let me get wired up here where we might be able to get a better recording. A lot of people visit our website, and for that I do rejoice that Anthony had it not just in his heart to think about starting a website, but he was forward to do it. And I mentioned Wednesday night about the truth of homosexuality. And you'd think that'd be a message that people would shun. But it's had so many people visit. It had 50 people visit it Wednesday night. And that just tells you, you know, that people are interested in knowing the truth. And maybe they visited for wrong reasons, I don't know. But the truth of homosexuality, we discussed that Wednesday night. And Hugh Powell compiled that tract that I used for information and statistics and facts that he put together there. Cannot be denied. But you know, two of the most popular messages on the website, one of them's the torments of hell, which it runs over 1,000 every month. And the other one now is this truth of homosexuality. That lets me know that people want to know the truth. But we'll start our reading here in 2 Peter chapter 3, start verse number 1. Peter being the writer. This second epistle, beloved. Now when he says beloved, that means he's talking to you and me that are saved. But also in this context, he'll also mention some things that would be important to people that are here and not saved. But he said, beloved, he said, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening until the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I guess Lord, to read that next verse, not just stop there. Nevertheless, we according to His promise, and I'm glad we do have the promise of God, and His promises, the Bible said, all of them are yea and amen, Molly. But it says, according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. We'll stop right there. And I want to go to the Lord in prayer right now. And I want to preach today on all you what you ought to be. And we hope that we might be of some help this morning. But I do desire your prayers, please. Pray for me this morning. Father, Lord, we thank You for the inspired, infallible Word of God. And Lord, Your Word says that we do well to look in tune, that we'll take heed, that lest at any time we let it slip, we ought to give it the most earnest heed. Lord, help us, I pray today, Lord, to look into the depths and the breadth of it, to look into it, Father, Lord, for direction. Lord, to look to the Word of God, dear Father, today, Lord, for the hour which we live. And I pray, dear Father, today that, Lord, You could visit us, Lord, as only You can. I desire a personal visit, dear Father, today, that I might assure my heart to God, that I might know, dear Father, Lord, where I stand. And I pray, dear Father, today for those that are here that might be lost today. I pray they'll realize the grace of God that's offered and the mercy that's offered. And I pray, Lord, dear Father, today they with urgency come and take advantage of that. Help us, Lord, I pray. In this message, dear Father, use plainness of speech, not stutter, stammer. But I pray we'll speak forth the Word of God with boldness and clarity. And we'll give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. We'll ask it. Amen. I'm preaching this morning, are you what you ought to be? And I only got 2 points, but they'll probably be fairly lengthy. But let me say first of all this morning that you ought to be saved this morning. And you know what? If you're not here this morning saved, you ought to get saved. I mean, there's just so much going on in the hour which we're living in. The Bible talks about that in the last days perilous times will come. We've arrived, amen. I'm watching news a little bit this morning, and just watching the news just a little bit this morning. I've seen on there where they're putting up a missile site down on the coast of California to intercept a nuclear warhead that'll be fired from North Korea any day now, and they're getting up for it. And I want you to know they have the capacity and they're capable of sending a nuclear warhead over here. Amen. They're not putting that nuclear... they're not putting that missile interceptor up there for no other purpose other than try to intercept this nuclear warhead. There are people that hate you. They want to kill you. They want to take what you got. They had a shooting yesterday in Illinois. I got family that lives in Illinois. They had 4 shootings in Illinois yesterday. 6 people died. 2 at 1 shooting. 2 at another shooting. 1 at another. And 1 at another. 6 people went out to meet God, Gail. Prepared or unprepared, they went out. I'm sure they never took no thought of that when they got up that morning. They never gave no heed to the Word of God. They never thought, you know, that the Bible said we know not what a day may bring. Hey, it says boast not of tomorrow, amen. Yeah, I'll tell you right now, if you're here lost, you ought to be saved. You ought to think about it earnestly. You ought to think about it with urgency. You ought to make your way down here even before I even give the invitation. If we do give one today, for all I know, the trumpet may go off at any minute. And I promise you this, buddy, I'm ready, amen. And I don't know about you, but I know where I'm going. I heard one preacher one time, he said, I'll see you in heaven, brother. He said, it's up to you. He said, I'm going. That's the way old Brother Eddie is. I'm a going. Hey, you know you're going, Brother Eddie. I know the day I got saved. I know how I got saved. I know how I'm saved. Amen. I know, praise God, I've been begotten by the Word. I know I've been bought by the blood. I know I've been born again and I'm saved. Amen. You ought to know you're saved this morning. I'll tell you what, if you don't know you're saved, boy, you're living in jeopardy. I'll tell you right now, buddy, if you're not saved, I don't want to give you no false hope. You're just not going. I mean, you're just not going. You're going to be left behind. You read the parable about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. If you're not saved, you're foolish. I'll tell you right now. You're not going. You're not good enough. The only way you're going to go is if you belong to Him. The Bible said the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Amen. He's a good shepherd. He calls His sheep by name. Amen. He knows me. I know Him, Sister Anita. You're not going. You forget about it. I'm working on it, Brother Eddie. I'll tell you right now, you're wasting your time. I'm glad to hear Kyle got saved. I say praise the Lord. I wish I could have heard his whole house got saved. Maybe we will. But I'll tell you what the urgency of the hour is. You ought to be saved. Amen? You ought to be saved. You ought to be ready. The Bible talks about in such an hour, you think not the Lord cometh, Matthew 25:44. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're not saved, let me just say this, hell's ready. It's ready to meet you at your coming. It's ready to swallow you up, devour you like a big gray white shark. I thought this week coming up out of the basement, I know this is kind of a stupid thought, but I have them all the time. And I don't know why, but for some reason other people don't, they're not willing to believe, Brother Bobby, that a whale could swallow Jonah. And we wouldn't have known it was a whale if Jesus hadn't told us that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I mean, the Bible said in the book of Jonah, God prepared a great fish. But I'll be honest with you, the Bible had said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd have believed it. I'll be honest with you, I don't have no problem believing that a whale could swallow Jonah, but I didn't believe if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd have believed that. And I'll tell you right now, those things in the Bible, they're in there for a reason. They're in there so you might understand that God's able to do all things. He's able to save Eddie Wade, and He did. And He's able to save you, and He will. If you'll just come and say, Lord, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I've waited long enough. Amen. If you don't, I'll tell you what, don't worry about straining the gnat, about Jonah and the whale. Don't worry about that. There's more important things. The Bible said hell's ready to meet you at your coming. Matter of fact, it said the worms are ready. This is out of Isaiah chapter 14. It said hell's ready to meet you at your coming. Oh yeah. You won't be a stranger. Matter of fact, buddy, they'd like to have you. That's one thing about the devil, buddy. The Bible said he's going to support in his deceivings, Brother Bobby. I don't know how in the world the devil could get any joy out of it. But I believe he's going to get some kind of joy out of getting men that he deceived through sports. You know, they was mindful. They knew all the sports names. And man, they went to all the sports games, wasted all those times. God gave them to go to church and hear the good news that Jesus Christ come to this world, saved sinners. And they made other plans. You know, that guy in Luke chapter 12, he made other plans. Rather than go to church, he said, soul, I'll say to thy soul, I got much goods laid up for many years. And God said, tonight you're going to die, boy. Yeah, don't worry, hell's ready. The devil's going to have a ball. I believe he's going to sport in the fact, you know, that he got young and old. I believe he's going to sport in the fact, you know, we got a lot of inventions today. Paul talked about being not ignorant of Satan's devices. I believe, you know, some people are probably going to go to hell texting, Brother Melvin. They're probably going to go down the road. And it's just so important, you know, to get that little text in there. And just about the time they push that button to send it, here comes a car, T-bone right in the side. And next thing you know, they've gone out to meet God. Prepared, unprepared, I don't know. God, Paul said, God knoweth. And I'll tell you one thing, that car ends up being for sale. Somebody will buy it, try to rebuild it, and the process probably repeat itself again. But I want you to know, buddy, hell's ready to meet you at your coming. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. And it said, the worms are ready to cover you. Right there in the same chapter of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11. I don't like worms. I like to put them on the hook and fish with them, that's it. But it said, the worms will cover you down there in hell. Man, for those of you who are kind of squeamish, bear with me here just a little bit. But it said the worms are going to cover you down there in hell. Ain't it funny there in the book of Mark? that talks about the worm. I've always thought about that scripture there in Job. It said he was but a worm. I always thought that's what it's talking about the soul of man. But that may not be what it's talking about. And I'll let God make the say on that and make the call on that. I got to think about that a little bit different this morning. Maybe it's talking about the worms there. It's mentioned in verse number 11 of Isaiah chapter 14 that's going to cover you when you get to hell. Hell's not going to be a place of fun. You forget about partying down. The only party they're going to have in hell is a screaming party and a suffering party. And I'll be honest with you, nobody wants you to come join them. Amen? But he said the worms are going to cover you as you're coming, and hell is ready to meet you as you're coming. Mark chapter 9, verse 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, it says the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. I want you to know that hell is ready. I want you to know the worm is ready. I want you to know the flames are ready. Amen. Yeah, there ain't nothing funny about hell. The torments are ready also, buddy. You ought to know this. If you ain't saved today, buddy, there ought to be urgency. You ought to be thinking. There ought not be another thought in your head today. You ought to be forgetting about what time it is. Throw the watch away. Throw the calendar away. Forget about that. There ought to be one thing taking precedence of everything. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That ought to be first on the list. I'll tell you right now, buddy, it was a good day, and old Brother Eddie had no sense to seek the Lord. I found that it wasn't hard to find. I found out when I saw it in my heart, I found Him in a big way, man. I'll tell you, if you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to know, buddy, hell's ready. It's ready to consume you. I want you to know the worms are ready. I want you to know the flames are ready. The torments are ready. You ought to be ready, amen. Eternity. Going to be a long time to spend in a place called hell. I don't know how long eternity is, but I promise you this. It's longer than you want to stay. And eternity is where you'll spend if you're not careful in a place called hell. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. 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 You ought to be saved. I'll tell you, buddy, Matthew chapter 25, 1 through 13, talk about five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. And they's just tarrying, you know, and the bridegroom showed up and five was ready and five wasn't. Five left, five got left behind. I'll tell you right now, the odds are going to be great to those that aren't ready, going to be left behind. I'm glad I'm saved, glad I'm ready, ready to meet Him at His coming, amen. Jesus said, an hour you think not, Son of Man's going to come, amen. Oh, me. If you're not saved this morning, I'll tell you what, buddy. I wouldn't just come this morning to get saved. Oh, Brother Eddie, I remember I got saved. There couldn't be enough services for me. I found revivals going on. I didn't necessarily agree with everything they said. But I'll tell you what, I just want to hear more about Jesus. It kind of in the category, Paul said, some preach Christ for envy, some for strife. But he said, nevertheless, Christ is preached. I couldn't get enough of hearing His name, Kellen. I'll tell you right now, I just wanted to be in the presence of the singing of His songs. I just wanted to hear the Word of God be preached and taught. And I'll tell you what, it's kind of like eating watermelon. Eat what you can and spit the rest out. But I'll tell you, when you get saved, you'll want to learn more about Him, amen. Man, my appetite changed, amen. I forgot about the things of the world and started focusing on the things of God, and I couldn't get enough of them. I'll tell you right now, buddy, you can have all you want. You can have dump truck loads. You can have a battleship load. You can have oceans full of the things of God if you'll just say, Father, I'm hungry. I'll tell you, go and get, amen. Come and dine, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll tell you, buddy, if you're not saved, you ought to be. If you are saved, let me say this. You ought to be fessed up. You ought to be prayed up. You know that one verse that I just read there, verse 14, that you may be found of Him in peace. And I do want to be found in Him in peace. The latter part of that verse said that you may be found of Him in peace. Without spot and blameless. And I know He is going to present to church. But I'll tell you what, buddy, I want to be without spot and blameless. The Bible talks about in the book of Ephesians that we might be washed by the water of the Word. Talks about also the blood of His Son Jesus cleansed from all sin. But I'll tell you one thing about the church. It may not be what it ought to be, but it ought to be. He loved the church, gave Himself for it. It ain't the building neither. It's called that assembly. It's a first believers, amen. We're assembly of the body of Christ. We've been bought with a price. I got drafted in, but I'm in, glory to God. The Bible talks about in the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 13. And we ought to look at that, not just try to quote a little bit of that, but I want you to understand, this is for our sake. These are in here. But the Bible said in Romans chapter number 14, it talks about here in verse number 10, it says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee bow to me and every tongue confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore." Y'all have no problem finding fault, Brother Eddie. I'll help you. I got all kind of fault. Talk to my wife. She'll tell you. Amen. I got plenty of them. Listen, rather not look at Brother Eddie, well, look at God. Well, look at Jesus and say, "Lord, help him. Help him, Lord. He's struggling. Lord, help him." Now, listen, it's too easy to judge me. Say, we ought not judge one another anymore. But judge rather this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall on his brother way. I got enough problems. Don't add to my problems, amen. I don't add to your problems. And it says, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that seemeth in the unclean, to him it is unclean." I mean, what you see is wrong may not be wrong with me, but I'll tell you one thing. Every one of us is going to give an account. Every one of us is going to stand. Y'all not going to sit there and say, "Well, Lord, Brother Eddie, he didn't do it bad. I promise you this, you're going to sit over there just like me, wait your turn. And when you give your account, it'll be you giving yourself account of God before him yourself." Amen. Amen. I want to be found of him in peace. I know I'm going to meet him. And after it's all over with, man, I'm still going to love him. I don't know. All mine may go up in a puff of smoke. I don't know. Bible talks about, you know, if I done it for any way, it's just going to be a puff of smoke, going to be wood, hay, and stubble. But if I done it for him, I'm going to get a reward. I'm looking forward to doing things, you know, that honor him. But let me tell you, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, why are you reading this, Brother Eddie? Well, the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We got instruction, we got Scripture, and I'll tell you what, we do well, take heed to it, amen. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, listen to this right here, to the saved. Listen, you ain't saved, don't think you're going to have any better deal. There's somebody's funeral thing there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look here at verse number 9. It says, "Whether we labor or whether, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And Paul said, "Knowing therefore the time of the Lord," he said, "we persuade men." Paul met the Lord under terms that I wouldn't want to meet. I mean, he was a murderer, persecutor, an injurious to the church. He met the Lord and he put it in his terms right here. He said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." But I'll tell you, buddy, I want to meet the Lord under different terms. I want to meet him under terms of acceptance. I want to meet him under terms that he might say, you've done the best you could. The best you could in what you did. Amen. The Bible talks about be not high-minded, but fear. And every now and then I do get on my high horse. I can't help it. I think every man struggles with pride. And I don't know how women are, but I know how men are. I know how this man is. Every now and then the Lord got to knock some bark off my head, get me down in reality. But the Bible talks about be not high-minded, but fear. And it talked about Israel. Israel, God brought them down. And it tells me not to think that I've got any advantage because I'm not a Jew, and I am a spiritual Jew, but I'm not born a Jew. I've been born again, and I'm a Jew. But Luke chapter number 12, verse 42 through 48, it talks about people that think, you know, that the Lord, you know, He's done went beyond the time He ordained coming. They get back out in the world, and people do. I've seen them. I may not know it all. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I have seen people go back out in the world. And the Bible tells you that Demas left Paul, having left this present world. And it says, here the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household and give him their portion of meat?" in their season. It said, blessed is that man whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he'll make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord, the Lord is coming, and began to beat his men servants and maidens to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware, and he'll cut him asunder. Amen. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I want to be eternity minded.
Amen.
Like I said, and I mean this, I'm not jesting here. The trumpet may sound before we give the invitation. The Lord don't necessarily have to go to the time of the invitation. I do believe He will, but He don't have to. I'll tell you right now, He's right in everything He does. If He stands up and says, time will be no more, and the rapture takes place right now, and y'all see Brother Eddie do greater than Houdini and just disappear. I'll tell you right now, the Lord, He's right in what He does, Anita. But I do believe He's long-suffering to wait a few minutes. But don't provoke God to... Don't play eternity Russian roulette thinking I've got plenty of time. You'll find out, buddy. He said an hour when he's not aware and cut him asunder. Will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. I don't want that. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, he knew better, and prepared not himself. Neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. I talked about appearing before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things that He's done concerning the body of Christ. I don't think it's going to be pleasant. I think Paul kind of gave us a hint talking about knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Said, but he that knew not did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. I'll tell you one thing, I never got a whooping I didn't deserve. I got out of more than I got, but every one I got, I deserved them and them more. But don't think you're going to go strutting into heaven. We got to get past that judgment seat of Christ. But I'm glad that's all I got to go for, Molly. I don't want to go for that great white throne judgment. Because those people go for that great white throne judgment, boy, they're doomed. There's a reason why they're standing there. They'll be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given. You know, preachers fall in this category. God, He anoints them from on high, and gives them enlightenment, understanding, and here He is. I'll be honest with you. I was listening to Ron Ralph preach this morning, and I couldn't help but amen him. He's preaching right along what I'm preaching. I'm sitting there thinking, boy, you're preaching the same message, Lord, laid on my heart. And he talked about preachers that he knew had failed back out and left their wives and went out with somebody else's wife and may have made shipwreck of their faith. And then they knew better. He talked about, man, they ought to know better now. They still do it. Why in the world would anybody knows better do something like that? I don't have an answer. I'll just tell you this, it goes on. I don't care how high they are. I don't care how anointed they are, how saved they are, how blessed they are, how good a preacher they are. They still fall. That's why the Bible said, be not high-minded, but fear. And I've heard about it, and you've heard about it. I was telling Melvin last week about my pastor's pastor. I didn't know none greater. Great man of God. And he went out to do the work of God. And he went out in simplicity and sincerity. Knocked on the door of a house to do some door-to-door visiting. And I like it like that. I don't necessarily like go who I'm going. I like the Lord lead, and sometimes I go knock on the door. I remember one time I knocked on the front door. Jesse, I couldn't get nobody to come to the front door, and I couldn't let up. I went around the back door and knocked. Well, all around the back door and knocked, somebody came to the door, Keith, and it was a woman. And I said, ma'am, we're out on visitation tonight, and I just wanted you to know the Lord loves you. He'd like for you to get saved. Are you saved? She said, no, I'm not. And I said, I'd like to talk to you about that. She welcomed me in. I told her, let her to the Lord right there in the kitchen. You know what she told me after she got saved? She said, the reason I didn't come to that front door, she said, I was kneeling down here on the floor in the kitchen with a knife pressed to my chest trying to get enough nerve to push it on through. She wouldn't come to the door. You just don't never know. But this man, and I won't mention his name because I love him too much, but this man went to a door and knocked on the door and a woman opened the door and she didn't have a stitch on. I don't care if you're Superman. The Bible said we're just men of like passion. It just killed me. I couldn't believe it. I went to him. I heard about it. I went to him. I said, tell me it's not so. And he said, it's not so, Brother Eddie. He said, it's just a rumor. But he couldn't hide it forever, William. It finally came out. It cut some years off his life. He didn't stand so tall after that. That woman should have done what she done. And let me just say this on his behalf. He did leave. Yeah. I mean, good grief. I mean, here you knock on the door and here's a woman. She ain't got a stitch of clothing on. And he did leave, but he didn't say go. Yeah, this is the kind of preaching we need right here. Amen. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I mentioned his name, but I won't for love's sake. I love him. That don't change anything. I'll tell you right now, God's righteous in everything He does. He'll just have to stand before God just like me. And before I think I've got feathers to sprout out like a turkey and strut, Jesus went so far as to say, if a man looked on a woman to lust after him, commit adultery already, whether in his heart. And I do wish women put more clothes on. I wish everybody quit unbuttoning his shirt, showing the chest, and strutting off. I don't know what in the world's going on about all this wardrobe malfunction stuff. And I'll tell you one thing, I believe there's more than malfunction going on. I believe that old flesh is trying to rise up. I believe that flesh and devil, they ain't nothing good. Paul said, I know it in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but there's something about flesh. We want to paint it. We want to pamper it. We want to put it on display and show my big muscles, show my hairy chest. My wife ain't here, and I'm kind of glad she ain't. But you know, back when we got married, I showed y'all that picture when I got married. And boy, time has made a change. And me and her both, amen. I'm not, never was debonair, but boy, she's something to look at. I'm married. We've been married 37 years. I thought it was 38, Keith, but she corrected me. She said, don't add no more what's needed. She said, 37 will do just fine. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, until we get to heaven, when you open that door, you just don't never know. You just don't never know what you're going to be looking at nowadays. I'm telling you, buddy, the Bible talks about we're living in perilous times. Yeah, they're putting up a missile interceptor down on the coast of California. And we're sitting there twiddling our thumbs saying, I wish he'd shut up. People are dying right now. Somebody right now. Man, oh man. The hour we're living in calls for urgency about eternity. I'm not kidding. Hell's ready. It'd like nothing better to consume you before today's over with. The worms are ready. The flames are ready. The torments are ready. They don't have morphine down there. I went to the dentist one time, Brother Bobby. He said, what's your biggest concern? I said, pain. He said, we can get around that. And after he shot me about 5 times with Demerol or morphine or whatever it was, he said, can you feel that? I said, what? He said, well, we're ready. And I left there, I drooled all over myself. I couldn't even tell I had a mouth, much less a tooth. And I'm telling you, my lip hung out. My granddaughter got up this morning. She said, Pop, I drooled all over the pillow. I said, honey, that just means you slept real good, amen. But oh me, there ain't none of that in hell. Down there you get the full brunt of your mistake. Down there you got an eternity to regret the fact that you knew no one but you can be blamed for missing heaven, for missing eternity in the place that the Lord said, I'll go away and prepare a place for you. Now listen, the same God that made everything that we love down here, He made another place. He said it's better. Paul said to be a Christ far better. It's far better. Now, I'll tell you right now, don't miss heaven. But by all means, don't end up in hell. If you end up in hell, I promise you this. And listen, I'll tell you what the Word of God says. And I do know the Word of God. I know it in depth enough to tell you this. If you do end up in hell, your loved ones will know it. You know how they'll know it? Because at the great white throne judgment, they're mentioned in the book of Revelation. It said death and hell gave up those which are in it. And your family's going to see you. And they're going to see you in a sad pretenses. They're going to see you as one that's doomed and damned. That's why the next chapter said God's going to wipe away all tears.
Amen.
From their eyes. Because ain't nothing you're going to be able to do about it. Ain't nothing they're going to be able to do about it. Because the Bible said the books were open. They were judged out of those things that's written in those books. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast alive in the lake of fire, second death. But I promise you this, if you do end up in hell, people will know about it. I promise you this, you'll sit there and you'll say, Lord, just give me one more chance. And there'll be no more chance given. I promise you'll see your family saying, why did you end up in a place like that? Why didn't you end up in heaven? There'll be separation, Anita. There'll be mothers like that mother you mentioned about them two little girls there that'll be eternally separated. And those two little girls, I feel sorry for them. I love them. But they deserve better than that. But if they see their mother in that place right there, I'll tell you what, they'll amen the sentence. And they'll say, Lord, You gave her opportunity. You gave her chance. She should have repented. She should have turned to You and got saved. Eternity is a long time. Even as I'm preaching right now, people are in hell saying, don't shut up, Brother Eddie, preach. I mean, that man in Luke chapter 16, he said, send someone to warn them. People down in hell, they want someone to warn people of that place. I'll tell you right now, buddy, you ought to be saved. If you are saved, you ought to be living righteous, godly, and sober in this present world. You ought to be setting an example down here, set the standard as high as you can. I mean, people that see you ought to take note of you. You've been with Jesus. I mean, buddy, you ought to be a good steward of the manifold things of God. You ought to be a living epistle with Jesus on every page. You ought to be passing that tract and praying and looking and showing this world that Jesus can make a difference. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, the Bible said about Enoch, but he had a testimony that he pleased God. You'll have some kind of testimony. It won't be no secret. But I'll tell you right now, if you're lost, you ought to be saved. If you're saved, you ought to be living like you're saved. Amen. Jesus said there will be one that will judge you in the last days. He said, the word that I speak, you won't get around this word. I don't care what the liberal says. I don't care. You know, it's amazing. We've got a supreme, what do you call them? Is that what it is? The Supreme Court? They're not appointed. I mean, they're not voted on. They just get put in office. They serve till they die. And their job is to interpret the law. But they've been not interpreting. They've been making laws. That's how you got abortion and stuff like that now. By the way, 53 million babies have been slaughtered since that date. But, you know, it's America. Good grief. We don't need to be talking about that. I mean, good grief. Who wants to infringe upon our rights? We got rights in America. Yeah. I'll promise you this. Those supreme justices, they're not above God. I read this morning, just randomly reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and they said there's one higher. And he's higher than the Supreme Court justices. Amen. Yeah, boy. Amen. If they're going to fall in that category, much is going to be required. And they're going to pay it to the last farthing, Sister Anita. But listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I urge you this morning, I beg you, I plead, I pray for you last night, I pray for you this morning throughout the night, that you'd have enough sense this morning to realize you ought to get saved. This thing, I don't know what in the world's keeping it still going. Man, I looked at the sun last night as it set. I mean, the moon last night as it come up and the sun set. I looked at that moon and for lack of better words to me, it looked like it was getting ready to turn blood. And I tell you what, buddy, and the sun turned like sackcloth. I'm telling you, it ain't going to be long, buddy, till this word's going to be fulfilled. Every jot, every tittle. And I'll tell you what, God will have a final say. Amen. Christian life and service. You look at Romans chapter number 12. I'll take just a minute longer. I hope that you can bear with me just a minute longer. Now I will shut up. Romans chapter number 12. If you'll look here, you got verses here that talk about Christian life and service. And Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And here you got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses here about service. He said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think of himself, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, having then gifts different according to the grace that's given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do so with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now these next verses here are about the Christian. If you've got a good old Scofield Bible, you look right there. It talks about the Christian and those that are within. Now this is to us that are within. Then it's got something about the Christian and those that are without. So I want you to understand, I'm going to read verses here about the ones that are within the church. Let love be without dissemination. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Giving the hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condemn sin to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now here's to the Christian and those that are without. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, and I had to correct myself on this verse. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peace with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In the last verse of this chapter, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The Bible here is instructions. It tells us what to do. It tells us how to do. It tells us when to do. And I'll tell you right now how true that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's not like we're in darkness. We got the light. And the Bible said the entrance of His Word giveth light. But I will tell you this, the time is short. The day's at hand. You ought to be saved if you're lost. You ought to be living like you're saved if you are saved. And we ought to all be ready because He's coming in an hour, we think not. And for all I know, buddy, we may be in overtime right now. Oh, me. Six killed yesterday in Illinois in one day. Four separate shootings. Whew. Don't tell me we don't need the Word of God. Don't tell me we don't need the love of God. I'll tell you, buddy, they have successfully tested a missile interceptor on the coast of California. We better be making preparation. These are perilous times. Paul said to Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days it'll be perilous times. Perilous. I hope you get saved. I hope you get ready. Because I'm telling you, we used to play a game, Jesse, when I was little, called hide and seek. And somebody used to lay their head over on a tree like this right here. Most time it's me. And I'd count. I may have been the only one who could count. I don't know. But I do remember saying, ready or not, here I come. And I went looking. And sometimes I found people pretty quick because they wasn't ready. And sometimes some of them made it in while I was out looking for others. They said, home free! That's what I want to be, Anita. I want to be home free. Lord, we thank You, Father. Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, Your bread's never stale. Your Word's always, Father, in season. And Lord, I pray we'd not be just hearers. I pray we'd be doers. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for this invitation, Lord. I know we got lost people here this morning. And I pray, dear Father, Lord, they'd not set at naught during this invitation. I pray those that are saved bow their heads right now and pray for God to save the lost that are here this morning. And those, Lord, that are here this morning, Father, Lord, I pray that know You, know the meaning of the word saved. I pray that we'd help these that are lost get saved. Help us, Lord, to be of one mind, one accord. Pray on behalf of these lost ones, Lord. For Lord, if they are lost, they'll be lost eternally. And Father, I pray You'll help us, Lord, to get ready to meet You at Your coming. If there's anything, any halt in anybody's heart, I pray, Lord, dear Father, that they'd realize You know all things. And I pray, Lord, they'd make things right while we're here. And these things we ask the best we can in Jesus' blessed name. May You be honored and glorified in all. Amen. I'd ask everybody to stand, please.
Page 167.
Lord, don't want a passion.
While on earth thou art come.
Brother William. Oh, it's a fine Christian example right here. Fine Christian example. Lord, thank you for Brother William. Thank you, Father. Oh, what an example, Lord, a believer. This brother is word and deed. I thank you for Brother William. Lord, I know it ain't been long, Father, they buried a son. I pray the God of all comfort would comfort my brother and console him. Carry him, Father, till they can walk again. May you give grace. May you, Lord, I pray, be the source of his strength. And be, Lord, I pray, Lord, the God, Lord, that hear him, the God that help him, bless my brother. Bless Brother William. Bless him. Yes. Lord, bless my sister this morning. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you have been honored here this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord, we can sure hush you this morning. Lord, be a blessing to the heart of God. Bless my sister. Thank you for Sister Carol. Amen. Bless your brother. Bless your sister, Nita. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother William. Let love be without dissemination. I can't even say the word, but it means without hypocrisy. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I'm your brother. I love you. I want you to love me. I ain't perfect. I ain't never going to be perfect. I wish to love, but I can't be. One day, praise God, he's going to present me, right? Perfect. The Bible said he's going to present us with a perfect salvation. And on that day, praise God, I'll finally have all the dross removed and I'll be perfect. Amen. He'll make the captain of our salvation perfect. Paul said, until that which is perfect be revealed. Man, oh man. Listen, you lost people this morning. I love you. Oh, Brother Eddie, I ain't doing nothing but plead with you. Praying for you. I'd like for you to run up here. I'd like for you to get it fixed. I'd like for you to leave with victory. Because I'm worried about you. Because I love you, man. Won't you come this morning? The Lord's waiting. The Lord won't want anything. You to come, get saved. Won't you come this morning? Listen, I'll tell you right now, buddy, if you miss heaven, you missed it all. Yeah. You'll remember days like this right here when the Lord dealt with you and your heart beat like a jungle drum. And you knew, buddy, I need to go up there. The Lord will be right in saying you didn't come. The Lord will say, like he said to Jerusalem, I would that you'd come, but you would not.
222.
I'll tell you, you're to come. The Lord's kind of tarrying here this morning, his sweet spirit here this morning. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, what's all about. The reason the church is down here is for the benefit of those that aren't saved. We're living epistles, testimony of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, Brother Eddie, if God save you, save anybody. I say, amen, I wish He would.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, there ain't no problem on His end. The only problem is you need to come up here and slide in and say, Brother Eddie, I need to talk to God. Help me, amen. One of the worst services I've ever been in my life. I was at a church. They didn't believe in nobody helping nobody on the altar. And a woman come up the aisle with a tank of oxygen and holes, and she's about 80 years old, and she's a weeping. And she come up here to this altar, and she's a weeping, saying, somebody help me, I need to get saved. And I tell you right now, I got up to go help her. And they tackled me like you would a football player. And the pastor, which I knew him, I worked with him, and went to school with him, Davy Meyer, I will mention his name. I told him, I said, get down there and help her. And he said, no! I don't know where that woman ended up in hell or heaven. I know one thing, she asked for somebody to help her. She asked for someone to pray with her. That ought not be. I promise you this, you come up here, I'll kneel down there with you and pray with you.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints in this earth shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? You
better be.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Bible talks about they'll be without excuse. Romans chapter 3, without excuse. That's where you'll be if you don't get saved. You'll be without excuse. You hear the saddest word, depart me, I never knew you. You'll go to the most awfulest place that could ever be imagined. Hollywood can't make a movie like this place. They tried. But nothing can describe this place. Down there they gnaw their tongues for pain. Down there they cry out for just one drop of that. And they can't even have one drop of it to cool their tongue because they're tormented in flames. Maybe somebody's got a word on their heart. I certainly ain't going to drag this service no further than it is.
Yeah, Brother Wade, if you've got a financial problem, you know, about the funeral, you know, the son there, he requested maybe the church wanted to help him some, and he'd really appreciate it, and I would too. So, you think we're going to take him off in there, or we're going to do about that here?
Run that by me again, Brother Melvin. I heard part of it.
Brother William, his son died, you know.
Yeah.
He's not able to pay that funeral and pay his staff, you know, so he doesn't have money, you know.
Amen.
So, we need to try to help him take him off or do something there, or maybe. It wouldn't hurt my family. You get some of the church and everyone there too. It's all right, everybody. And pay for this funeral expense, you got a problem, or you know, financial problem. And address the funeral home. The check will need to be made to address the funeral home, or put him down, either one.
Yeah.
He'll see that money gets there to the funeral home. It'll be expensive. It's expensive anymore when you know funeral expense.
William's son passed away about 3 weeks ago, I believe it was. And what Brother Melvin's talking about is helping him out with the expense of that funeral. And maybe you're of the same mind, and I hope you are. I know that's what we ought to be. If that be possible, I'm certainly of the mind to help William. He's my brother. I love him. I talked about service without and service within. And he talks about bearing one another's burdens, so fulfill the love of Christ. Weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. I'm certainly interested in helping William any way I can, and I'm certainly in agreement with anything that anybody wants to do. Maybe someone can give a second to that suggestion there, and I'd certainly be glad to do it. But I think we ought to try to help William out, and I certainly weep with him. I certainly pray with him about, you know, the loss of his son. I've buried a daughter. I know that it's tough, and I know with our daughter we struggled financially. And there were those that helped us, and I appreciated what they did. And it seemed like every flower, every one that shook my hand said, Brother Eddie, I'm sorry about hearing about your daughter. It was a comfort, cushion the blow. And if anybody's interested in helping William, maybe raise your hand. We'll try to do something. All right, I see about four or five hands up there. Is anybody interested in taking up an offering to help William with the expense of that? Is anybody interested in that? I just want to give him some money.
Well, let's do both. Take it off and get it. Anybody give
it? Bring it up here, Jesse. We'll give such as we have here. Of course, you can't give enough, but I do want to give what I can. And let's pray over this, Lord. Lord, in obedience to your word, we just read out of the Bible there about love being without dissimulation. And Lord, we want to help our brother. Lord, I pray you'll help us in this effort. Lord, I pray you'll bless this offering. Lord, there's no way we could give suffice enough. Lord, we do want to give what we can. I pray you'll put your blessing upon this. And Lord, I pray the church will be of the mind to also give. Lord, for this reason, Lord, cause Brother William, Lord, they suffered a great loss there, and I know we can't help everyone, but we do want to help those that we can. We want to try to help Brother William, Lord, in this effort, and pray bless this offering, bless those that have to give and those that have not. Go ahead there, Brother Jesse. If you want to give on behalf of this cause.
Maybe we can have a Thursday night at the service and talk about maybe give a little bit in church too, just a little bit there, right there, man.
Anybody got a testimony on your heart? Amen.
You know, people are looking at other people and they're turning God away. And you know, we all got to stand for self.
Yeah.
No one else. And you can't blame no one because God's not going to let you sit there and say, listen, it's called the so-and-so. That's not going to happen. And when you judge you, he's going to give us your judgment to you. But I was at a funeral last night, and I heard so much bad stuff. And I know people are looking at people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know myself, before I was saved, I looked at others, and I thought, if they're going to heaven, I know I'm going. But what I didn't know that I had had the blood
right
before I could enter into heaven. And I know that time is real short right now.
That's right.
People better be stop looking at other people and look to Christ, that who is the one that you've got to be judged by. Not by man will judge you, but the final judge is God's.
That's right. Sister Molly, that's right.
When God saved me, He saved me. He didn't save me for nobody else. He saved me. And I'm the one that's going to stand there on that judgment.
That's right. Amen.
Nobody else is going to stand for me.
Amen.
And the people better stop looking at the man, because man is not the one that shed the blood for me.
That's right.
And he's not the one that's going to give out your judgment on
that's
that
right.
day. So you better make up your mind which way you want to go.
Amen.
With the worm in the barn, or that holy, shiny, bright light.
Amen. This is the kind of glory.
The blood that flowed from the throne of heaven for us.
Amen, Sister Molly. Well said. Well said. In my mind's eye, I don't know why, but my mind's eye.
They might criticize me, they might put me down, but they're not the one that took the blood to my heart.
Amen.
And if I want to live for Christ, I've got to walk it.
Amen.
Regardless of what's
it's
on
true.
My side knocking me down, I'm still going to rise up, because I'm going to be judged by my master, nobody else.
Amen.
The final judge is going to be his judge for me. But like I said, you're going to stop looking at man. And looking at this world, this world's getting wicker by the minute.
Oh, boy.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to end. Like I said, I heard some stuff last night. It was unreal.
Yeah.
How people are putting people down.
Yeah.
And how Satan has got the young people and other people so drugged.
It's true.
And those people that drugs those children are hurting the parents
that's
and
right.
other people. It is awful what's coming down. And
that's
I
right.
know that Christ is not... No liar. What he said, he's returning. And that could be
amen.
Right now.
Amen. Amen.
I praise his holy name and I thank him for the blood. I'm
amen.
On my way to the mother.
Ooh.
Nobody else.
Smiley, hallelujah.
I love you.
In my mind's eye, she was giving a testimony. For some reason or other, back in my mind, I saw Molly come before God, kneel down and say, Lord, thank you. And I, boy, what a blessing it's just to have. The Bible said we have no vision, people perish. But in my mind, I had that vision, her coming before the Lord, kneeling down and saying, Lord, thank you. For shedding your blood for me. Amen. Yeah. Who else got a word on your heart this morning? Something. Certainly give you an opportunity. If not, let's all stand. I love you. And I'd like to invite you to come back tonight. Well, I'm pretty simple, pretty short tonight. But thank you for bearing with me this morning. And we'll get a... Brother William, would you care to dismiss us for a prayer, brother?
Thank you.